You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
Well, we are in the tail end of our End of the Wild series, and as we welcome back those of you who are streaming online, watching online, Last week, we finished up Moses' story, Moses' part of Into the Wild, and it was a huge part. I mean, he is the one who wrote this story down for us, wrote the Pentateuch, and last week, we said goodbye to Moses as he passed away. He handed the baton and leadership over to Joshua, and the takeaway from last week was challenging all of you. Who are you investing in? Who are you lending God's strength to? Who are you holding up and investing in that it's of no benefit to you? It's a benefit to someone else. And this morning, that's why the challenge is so important. We're going to be looking into the book of Joshua and seeing why it was so important for Moses to be investing in Joshua. The question that we have to ask ourselves as we go through this story is, will the young people around you, around me, be ready for the challenges that they will face in their adulthood? Are we preparing our young people, this next generation, to be ready for the adversity that they're going to face? Summertime at the pool is the epitome of joy, laughter, fun, relaxation, right? Okay, I lost a lot of you. No, it's not. Okay? It is if you know how to swim. It is if you're not a little kid with floaties, 4 years old, with your feet hanging over the diving board, and the line is getting longer and longer, and kids are jeering you, go ahead and jump already. And your dad is beckoning from the surface of the water, come on, I've got you, you're all right, come on, jump here. That's not fun, that's not joyous, that's pure terror. It's scary, right? It is a terrifying thing to be on the edge of something that you know and being challenged to jump into something that you don't. And if we think about our world right now, there's a lot to be terrified that we don't know about. There's inflation, there's war and politics and sickness, and those are just the global things, right? Then we get into the stuff that's more localized. We've got all the different things with our work that we're going, okay, is the job I should be doing? Am I doing it in the right way? You know, is there another job out there that I could be doing better? You know, am I taking care of my family, my kids? You know, how's my health? There's a lot that as we look into life, it's easy to say, you know what, I'm going to stay on the safety of the diving board instead of jumping into things that I don't know. There's a lot of what-ifs. There's a lot to be afraid of. I want to ask you, what keeps us from jumping and taking flight, not into a world of unknowns, but into the world of the promises that God has for us? In the beginning of Joshua, the Israelites, they weren't on the edge of a diving board, but they were on the edge of the Jordan River. And what you need to know about the Jordan River is the Jordan River was the edge of the Promised Land. I mean, this was like the entrance. They were ready to go into what God had promised them. And the interesting thing is that the Israelites that had their feet on the edge of the Jordan River, their parents had been there before too. But their parents had looked at the water, looked at a world of what-ifs and unknowns, and they knew what God's promises were, they knew the words, but they had a failure to launch. They went up to the edge, and then they chose the wilderness. And so at the start of Joshua, this is where they're at. Their feet are on the edge. They're looking over into the waters going, are we going to step into what God has for us? This is what it says in Joshua 1:1-3. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Everywhere that you set your foot. What a great promise from God, right? If I told you right now that everywhere you set your foot, that God would give it to you, you guys would get in your cars and drive to the nicest neighborhoods. You might even get on a plane and say, I'm calling dibs, right? You'd be running all over the place. Okay, dibs, you'd be going. The problem for the Israelites, though, is that the land looked great, but there was scary people there, too. There were already other people there going, yeah, I've called dibs first. And so they had the promise of God in Joshua chapter 1 that they had been hearing for generations. But they still had to exhibit the courage to step into it and take it. It's like, what are you going to choose? Are you going to choose to stand on the diving board and say, I've conquered the diving board? Or are you going to jump in and claim the pool? Hey, this is what God has for you. That's the world that Joshua was stepping into as he spent his first day stepping into office. Joshua was taking over someone else's life work in Moses. We talked about last week how Joshua probably finished the book of Deuteronomy, that represents the end of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. So not only is he finishing someone else's work, he's also finishing someone else's adventure into the wild. Moses was leading the Israelites into the promised land, and now he's passed the baton to Joshua, and he goes, hey, take them where I have never been able to take them. And that's crazy when you think about how Joshua ends the book. Joshua ends the book by saying, hey, there's never been another leader like Moses, right? He's including himself in that. And now he has to follow in Moses' footsteps. If I were Joshua, I think I would need a big pep talk. I wouldn't just need the promises of God of saying, hey, wherever your feet go, I'm going to take that land for you. I think I would need encouragement. The cool thing is, God gave him that pep talk. Look back at Deuteronomy chapter 31. This is what God's word was to the Israelites and to Joshua. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. A little bit later in the same chapter, the Lord gave this command to Joshua, son of Nun. Be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I promised them on oath, and I myself will be with you. Right? You noticing a pattern here? And so now Joshua is turning the page over to his book, right? He's writing these things down. Listen to what Joshua says at the start of his letter. This is Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. So that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Like, let me say it one more time. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous, because it's me that is fighting with you. What does it mean to be strong and courageous? What does that mean? It means standing on the edge of where you've been in your life and trusting God where he's telling you to go. It's that tipping point, right? It's moving to the point of no return, leaning forward into the promises of God, trusting that he's going to be with you, to the point where you're committed. Joshua is doing that with his followers, with the Israelites, and he doesn't know if he's going to be okay. He doesn't even know if the Israelites are going to follow them, going to follow him into what he's leading them to do. The distance between fear and flight is faith. The difference between one and the other is your view of faith and the factors you're facing. Are you going to believe what God says, or are you going to believe what you're seeing all around you? Faith is about believing God past the point of comfort and to the place of commitment. Joshua believed God. Joshua believed God to the point that, listen to what he said to the Israelites in Joshua 3, verse 5. He told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I don't know about you, but I want to see God do amazing things in my life. I want to see God do amazing things among us and in our community. I want to see amazing things. Joshua said, hey, get ready. God's going to do it. Consecrate yourselves. And consecrate is just a word that means get ready. Are you prepared? You know, if you think you're going to go on a journey, you're going to pack your bags the night before. Are you packing your bags in belief of God? Who has God placed around you that can help you be ready, that can help set you apart? We have church values that say, come as you are, become more than you can imagine. What that means is when you come to Jesus, there's no prerequisite of what shape your life needs to be in. You can come to Jesus mess and all, but if you want to see what is possible through God, you need to get yourself ready. That's not saving yourself. That's leaning forward into the promises of God and saying, I'm going to believe you, God. And I think a huge piece of that, how do you do that? You find someone that has committed to the promises of God. Joshua had Moses. Now, Moses had never been to the promised land, but Moses had spent his life preparing for God to do amazing things in his lifetime. And so Joshua looked to Moses to show him how to be ready for that. A mentor is a person who gets you from where you are to where you believe God wants you to go. What do you need to search for or value most in a mentor? Who do you want to become? You look for someone that you think exhibits the qualities that you think God wants to grow in your life, and you put that person in a place where they can shape your life. Consecrate yourself by finding people who will invest in you. Alicia and I, we got premarital counseling. We got counseling before we were even married. And the reason that we got premarital counseling is because we wanted to have a healthy marriage. We wanted to have a marriage that lasted. So we went and we found a couple that we had a huge amount of respect for. And we said, can we spend time with you? And so before we got married, we spent time with you or time with them. We need to consecrate ourselves. We need to get ourselves ready and allow other people in this church to shape us. If we're going to be ready for the challenges of tomorrow, if we're going to be ready to make that leap, that launch into the promises of God. So Joshua told his people to get ready, to set themselves apart, to be prepared. And this is what happened next in Joshua chapter 3. The priests, the leaders of the community, got the Ark of the Covenant and they approached the Jordan River. They got to the edge of the diving board. And it says that even though the Jordan River was at flood stage, as their feet touched the water, the river receded. And the Israelites walked across on dry land. They got ready. They set themselves apart. And then they took that step. They stepped into the water. And they saw as God did amazing things before them. And they still had challenges. There was challenges around every single corner, adversity that they had to face. But do you know what happens just a couple chapters later in Joshua 5 and 6? You know that promise early on in Joshua 1 that wherever you set your feet, I'll take it for the kingdom of God? The Israelites took a fortified city, the city of Jericho, not with weapons, but just by walking around it. Just by walking around it, God gave them victory. That sounds like God's promises are true, right? Parkside, let's be strong and courageous, right? When I was in college, or in high school, we did a college visit, and we went to Ohio Northern, and I don't know why they let us do this. They had a pool that we were allowed to swim in, and they had a high dive. This thing is like over 30 feet off the ground, and some of us had jumped off of it, and it was all cool until Tim Engle jumped off the high dive. And I don't know if he slipped or what, but he did a belly flop from the high dive. And we thought he was dead. We thought we were going to have to go get that guy out of the pool. And when he did manage to get out of the pool, he looked, one side of him looked normal, and the other side looked beet red. We were convinced he was bleeding internally. We're like, you're about to die. But needless to say, he was the last person that jumped off the pool, jumped off the high dive. It was the last one for the day. We were terrified. You know, it's one thing to give a rah-rah motivational speech saying, hey, be strong and courageous, share your faith, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, and step into belief in God. And it's a whole nother thing to recognize that there are things that it doesn't matter how strong and courageous, there's distances that we can't cover on our own. The Israelites couldn't have taken the promised land on their own, and we can't save ourselves on our own. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says that Jesus, being in very nature God, he's above us and beyond us, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. And so Jesus got to the edge of the diving board and dove into humanity. He covered a gap that we could not cover ourselves. And it says that he didn't just take on the nature of a man, he took on the nature of a servant and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus showed us a strength and courage that we could not exhibit on our own. It doesn't matter how courageous we are, there are certain things we can't do. But Christ has done that work for us. And so what I want to tell you is, what does it mean to be strong and courageous? It means believing God. Just like the Israelites had to step up to the edge of the water and believe enough to lean over and reach that launching point, we have to do that too. We're going to enter into a time of communion. And if it's your first time here, you can grab communion from one of the tables around the room. And don't feel bad if you got to get up to do that. You're fine. People do that every week. But as we enter into this time of communion, I just want to ask you, do you believe the promises of God? You might have committed your life to Jesus a long time ago, and you're not believing actively the promises of God. You're on the diving board. You might have been intrigued by Jesus for a long time, but you haven't committed, and so you're on the edge. Go ahead and jump. What are you waiting for? Believe the promises that God has made, because he's already made the greater leap. He's already made the greater launch in coming to us and dying for us. What does it mean to be strong and courageous in a world that's crazy? It means trusting God and believing his promises. Stop claiming the safety of the diving board and start jumping into the promises of God. Let me pray. God, we thank you so much for this time. And Lord, I just pray that we would believe your promises, that we would be strong and courageous, and that we know that you've already done something that we couldn't do for ourselves in dying for us on the cross. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.